Hey guys, welcome back to another edition of Turner Talks.
In thickness and in health with your co-hosts Bailey Turner.
And Zach Turner.
And in today's episode, we are going to be talking about the top fitness mistakes we see people make and generally why people don't see progress and how to overcome these things. So we're going to get right into it, and Zach's going to start off with number one, lack of intensity / going through the motions with their training.
Yeah, so this is probably the, I wouldn't say the most common thing, but if you're not nailing this one, it's going to be hard to, you know, nail a lot of the other ones that we're going to come up on. But, and I wouldn't say we see it a lot, but typically, like when we start challenges, people, like in the Train Heroic app right now, when we do our challenges, people comment on the thing. This one, this session wasn't very hard, so I had to do like, I did four more sets, and it's like...
Or I added two more exercises.
Yeah. And there will never be a volume solution for an intensity problem. So
I like that.
I can't coin it, but I forget where I heard it from. It was on a Dave Tate podcast. I don't know who said it, but you can't expect to do all the volume in the world and expect it to make up for a lack of just general hard training. You have to be pushing sets. You have to be, not every set has to be, you know,
to failure.
An all-out bout where you pick your spine up off the floor, or you can't breathe, or you know, the next 3 days you can't function because you pushed it so hard. But every now and then, and I like to do a combination of like both, where like some sets are pushed to failure, some sets are not, but they're all relatively challenging sets.
Like, yeah, it's not like you're picking up 15-pound dumbbells and doing overhead press and exactly. Going through the motions. I think that's the biggest thing we see. And it's not so much like a, I feel like guys in general push themselves a little bit harder than women do, just because generally speaking, they lift more. Mm-hmm. And so they, you know, inherently just know how to push themselves more.
And I wonder if that's like a perception thing too, like women don't want to feel like embarrassed by like seeing, like being seen struggling in like a public gym setting.
Yeah. Well, and I think it just like comes down to being comfortable. A lot of times like people don't like to be uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And I know for myself, sometimes I get like, I can get lazy when I'm outside training by myself and I'm like, oh, well, it'd be too heavy for me to try to lift up the 100-pound dumbbells to do goblet squats, mm-hmm. you know, by myself. But if you're out there helping me, then I push myself a little bit more. So I don't know if it's like a laziness thing or a comfortability thing, but it just, I don't know, it's something that we see a lot in women that, you know, they'll post a video of them doing an exercise and they're, you know, like not even breathing heavy. They're like barely, I don't know, their face is like just.
Yeah. Like their face looks like it would if they were just sitting on the couch.
Yeah, exactly. Like when I'm training hard, I'm making like ugly faces.
Well, I don't notice it, but, like, you recorded me doing, I think it was leg extensions the other mm-hmm. day, and I'm, like, biting my
lips. Yeah, you bite your lips.
I think that's more so because I grind my teeth when I lift, so I, like, do that because I won't bite through my lip. But, yeah, I think, and then the other day, right now on our challenge, one of our exercises is, like, we have a leg extension drop set, and a couple of the ladies in there posted, I did the heavy 10, so they were supposed to build up to a heavy 10, and then they were supposed to have the weight once, go to failure, close to failure, and then have that weight once again and go to failure, go close to failure. And she's like, I got 44 reps on my second, or my first drop, and then 114 on my second. Am I doing something wrong? And it's like, yeah, you are. Your top set is definitely not nearly
not
challenging
heavy. Because yeah, because I recorded Zach doing it the other day, and granted, he's using a lot more weight than us. But
so my halves are a
bigger.
Lot more than like...
But still, you literally got your 10, barely, and then you dropped weight in half, and you got maybe 5 or 6, and then you dropped weight again, you could barely do 3 or 4.
Yeah.
Like, there should be, you have to push, like, if you're not getting, you know, one rep shy of, or close to failure on that first set, then you're going to be shortchanging yourself in the next 2 sets.
Yeah.
And it's going to be way too easy. And then they're going to be like, what the heck? Like, why am I getting so many reps?
Yeah, and then they think the problem's with what we programmed. And it's not an effort or intensity problem on their part.
Yeah. But. And that's just the thing. Like, I think having a training partner holds you more accountable. So it's sometimes hard for people that are training by themselves to be like, oh, like, that was, that was enough weight for me. Like, I'm fine. I don't need to go heavier. Or, like, if they don't have a spotter or something like that. But if you have someone that's pushing you and they're like, okay, you just did 10 reps, but that looked way too easy. You have easily another 5 to 10 in the tank. That didn't count. Like, you're going to have to do that again, and then we'll start the drop set. Mm-hmm. That's exactly what you did to me. I got 10 reps, and you're like, no, that was way too easy. You're doing it again. And I think I did that for a couple times before I actually got my working set, like, 10 max. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's a big thing that we see within our challenges. People, you know, saying, oh, this is too easy, or, you know, I needed to add more or whatever. But if you're doing what we program, or any program, and you're actually not just going through the motions, and you're going through each exercise with intensity and with, like, an intention, then I feel like you're going to get way more out of the program than if you were to just breeze through the workout and try to finish it as fast as you can.
Yeah.
And try to just burn the most amount of calories. Mm-hmm. I think that just needs a whole nother podcast, but that's for a different time. Number two is lack of adherence with nutrition.
Yeah. So this is something that I personally struggle with a lot. I will do great from the time I wake up until about 6 o'clock at night. And then, and this is...
I think that's like 90% of America.
Well, I feel like the problem too is like, I do best when we don't have the, like, temptation in the house. Mm-hmm. Like, if I know that we don't have, like...
Like, if you go and buy ice cream...
Ice cream is, like, my weakness, 100%.
Zach's weaknesses are ice cream and soda.
Yeah.
And if we have them in the house, he will have ice cream and soda every single day, maybe multiple times a day, and then he'll be like, why are you letting me buy that stuff? Like, why am I eating it? I need to eat chicken and rice.
So this week I've been good. We actually went out to dinner last night, and I had chicken and vegetables and potatoes.
Yeah,
and
it was a good meal.
And zero sugar Sprite.
And then after, you usually want to go get ice cream or like Bahama Bucks, and you didn't. My dad was like, hey, you want to go get ice cream? And I was like, no, Zach can't, because every time I let him go get ice cream, he complains that I let him get ice cream. And it's not because he can't have ice cream. It's just because sometimes he doesn't know how to control himself, and he'll end up eating it in excess, and then he feels like crap, and then he's like, oh, crap, I should have just not had it at all.
Yeah. Well, and then, like, the adherence thing, too. Like, I notice when I, like, I hate using this word when it, like, comes to, like, nutrition, but when I eat cleaner... And, like, you know, I'm eating
less processed,
a bunch of fruits, a bunch of vegetables, like leaner, like cuts of protein,
rice
and like potatoes is like my like bulk of my calories. I noticed that obviously, my performance in like the gym feels better. I just feel more energetic. I don't feel like crap. I sleep better because I'm not going to bed full out of my mind.
And you have less cravings too. Like, you don't feel as tempted to eat ice cream every night after a good day of eating versus eating, you know, processed junk all day.
Well, and I noticed that, like, once I, like, I kind of get into a routine of, like, oh, every night my nightcap is going to be just a little bowl of ice cream. Mm-hmm. But then, like, once you break that chain, it's like, I don't need it
Which
anymore.
Here and there, it's good. Like, we are firm believers in, you know, moderation is key. You need to be able to treat yourself and have a good relationship with food. We are big proponents of balance and moderation, just having a healthy relationship with food. So we never want you to feel like you can't have sweets and treats and things you enjoy. But again, it's all about moderation and portion control and making sure that you're also getting in enough fiber, drinking your water, drinking or eating enough protein, and eating your fruits and vegetables before you try adding in, you know, your sweets and treats and things that you enjoy eating as well. So one thing that we like to do instead of having, you know, a bowl of ice cream at night or something is making a giant fruit bowl. And so we'll have those at the end of the nights, and it just like is something sweet before, you know, going to bed instead of having a giant bowl of ice cream or something like that. Also, we like having popcorn too. So that's two little snacks that you can easily have before bed if you want something salty or something sweet, but still be, you know, macro or calorie friendly. And I will say with the lack of adherence with nutrition, most people struggle with this because they try to adapt like an all or nothing like dieting approach. So they're super strict. They tell themselves that they can't have any sweets. They have to eat, you know, chicken, broccoli, and rice for every meal. And they're just very rigid and they don't allow themselves to have any flexibility with their nutrition. This is when you fall off, you end up binge eating, and it's just like this constant yo-yo dieting cycle that, you know, never ends up getting better because you can never have or find that balance with your relationship with food. So it's really important to, you know, work on it yourself because no one can really do it for you. It takes lots of practice to, you know, have a better relationship with food and learn how to, you know, treat yourself here and there, but also say no to the cravings sometimes. So if you really want to focus on your nutrition, but you don't want to track, I would just focus on getting in enough protein, drinking tons of water, obviously, at least 80 ounces a day, and then focusing on adding in, you know, fruits and veggies, and then maybe throwing in one treat in during the day and making sure you get your fiber in. That'd be like something to focus on instead of, you know, obsessing over macro tracking or calorie tracking, because I know it can be stressful. So you want a low stress approach to nutrition when you can. So next thing is number three is the all or nothing mindset, which I kind of touched on a little bit, but
yeah. So like you touched on it kind of like in a nutrition aspect, mm-hmm. but as it pertains to fitness, although it's ambitious and, you know, potentially something that you can try to accomplish at some point down the road, a lot of people, like especially when they're starting out, it's I'm gonna, you know, do this and that 7 days a week, and it's just not realistic or expected or even necessary. Like we in some regard get like at the very minimum like a nice long walk in 7 days a week, but I feel best when I'm training like 4 or 5 days a week. Mm-hmm. And that's it, because like I've had bouts where I've done like 6 training sessions a week and I just feel run into the ground, and like it's just, you know, where's the recovery supposed to happen?
And you can't train as hard either for those 6 sessions, yeah. Versus if you train hard for 4 sessions a week, you can go balls to the walls for those 4 sessions, give it your all, and then rest and go on walks and do other things that are, you know, physical activity that aren't necessarily lifting mm-hmm. weights.
What? And like you said, with like the all or nothing, as it pertains to like nutrition, when you have that same mindset when it comes to training too, it just sets you up for failure in the sense that there are going to be weeks where you can't train every day or 6 days a week. So,
or when you go on vacation or something. Yeah,
well, because that's why like 4 or 5 days gives you some room for error. Like if you miss one day, guess what? You still got 2 or 3 more days where you can try to make up that session, mm-hmm. and it doesn't leave you feeling like you are, I don't know, failing to some degree. So
100%. Yeah, I think a lot of people when they start their fitness journey, I think they just get overwhelmed with, you know, all the information out there, and they just kind of develop a very rigid plan with their nutrition and their fitness and everything. And that's why a lot of people fall off, or like New Year's resolutions. They're all like, you know, it's January 1st. It's a fresh new year. I need to do this and not do this and do this. And they have this like list of like 10 things that they want to do. And it's way too much change, you know, going from maybe someone who drinks 24 ounces of water a day, barely works out, and, you know, eats McDonald's 4 times a week. And then you're trying to change all of these different factors, and you just can't keep up with it because you realize how stressful, how overwhelming, and how obsessive you get over, you know, trying to control all of these things that are just, it's just way too much for the average person to do. All right, so we do have a blog post on how to start your fitness journey if you're interested. So we will link that in the description for you guys if you need some, you know, 5 actionable steps that you can take, or just some advice to starting your fitness journey that is not overwhelming advice, and it's not going to leave you with this all or nothing mindset that we need to work on ditching as a whole in the whole fitness community. So that brings us to number 4, which is program hopping / rotation of exercise selection too often.
Yeah. So how many challenges now have we done, like the 8 weeks? We were doing a while for it was like 4 or 6.
five
in a row of eight.
Well, we had mini challenges. We had one mini challenge.
This is maybe like the third one we've done like 8 weeks
in a row. Yeah.
It's like 8 weeks, and I have this conversation with Bailey too. Like, I will personally not rotate exercises until like they no longer have like an effect on, you know, my training. Like, the second it like is no longer progressing or I'm unable to progress, it is the second I swap it out for like a variation of it.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem in our groups tends to be, you know, people get bored with stuff, and that's a completely different conversation, like the psychology of it. Like, yes, it should first and foremost be fun, but then they're also the same people that will complain that they're not getting stronger, they don't see much muscle growth, and it's because, well, no duh, because like you can't stick to a movement for more than 4 weeks. Like, mm-hmm. I will literally run 16 weeks at a time on certain movements, and
I literally could keep the same movements in my programming for months.
We had a conversation about that one time too. Like, if I had to, I could do like 10 to 15 movements and they're like close variations for the rest of my life and be totally okay with it. Whereas some people, they fall into the trap of this like novelty, like butt in your face, look at this shiny object, you know, check out this new movement I literally just came up with that has no stability requirements, and
literally
no, it has a ton of stability requirements, sorry, and it requires you to balance on one leg while eating a chicken salad and, you know, it's just dumb, and, you know, it's, you can't fall into the trap of thinking you need to constantly cycle out exercises.
And that's where I think that Instagram workouts, they have their place in their, like, they have their place. But if you want to see real results with your strength and your physique, it's best to follow a program. Because then you have, all the guesswork is taken out for you. You can just go to the gym. You have a program of what you follow that already implements progressive overload if you just follow the sets and reps that are listed. And you're pushing yourself. Versus going into the gym and following this random Instagram workout and doing random Instagram workouts every day and kind of having no rhyme or reason for it.
It's like, where's the progression? Like, how do you know, like, what gets measured gets improved? So if you're not able to look, you know, back on last week or 2 weeks or a month or 2 months, there's no way of knowing whether or not you got better at the movement or if it was just like happenstance or chance that you got better.
Yeah, like, unless you're like doing the same workout for multiple weeks in a row.
Yeah, because you're unable to see like a clear progression of things.
Yeah. And this also brings me to the point that we were talking about on our walk this morning. So we went past like a burn boot camp, and Zach made a comment that he saw someone on Instagram like kind of crap on burn boot camps, and Orange Theory and all these kind of like F45 and all those kind of fitness classes. And it like really upsets me when people, you know, like shame other types of like exercise, because at the end of the day, all we care about truly is that you're moving your body and you're taking care of yourself. So, you know, if that's what you enjoy doing, more power to you. That's what we want you to do. Like, for example, like Zach's sister, she does not really like strength training, but she's in great shape because she prefers to run or go to Pilates or do yoga and do things that she enjoys doing. She'd rather rip out her eyeballs than, you know, go through one of our strength programs. And that's okay. That's totally fine. We want to make sure that, you know, like our programs might not be for you, and that is totally okay. We want you to find something that you actually enjoy doing.
Which was our initial point. So like Bailey said, like those like boot camp type workouts or like, you know, aerobic exercise are awesome, but you still should probably follow some sort of progression. Like my initial point was, if your goal is to get stronger, like objectively stronger and objectively like more muscular or leaner, whatever the goal is, you should probably follow some progression of some sort. But at the end of the day, like Bailey said, movement is like really all that matters. And if like your goal is to just be healthier overall,
yeah, if your goals are like, it all depends on your goals. And I don't want anybody to think that we're saying, oh, you have to do our programs in order to see results. We're not saying that at all.
I just like try to relate it back to like
people. We're trying to kind of relate it back to the people that are in our challenges, the people that we interact with the most, I would say, on a daily basis, and try to help them on their fitness journey. Because a lot of the people that come to us aren't people that, you know, just go to the F45 Orange Theory Burn Boot Camp classes because they're obviously in the gym wanting to do our program. So we just want to make that very clear because we don't want people coming after us saying that we were, you know, telling people they had to do a guide or something.
And if you go to a burn boot camp, you need to cancel your membership right now.
Yeah, that's not true at all. And we just want to make sure that you know that all exercise is obviously amazing for you. And at the end of the day, it's all about finding something that you enjoy and something that you can stick to. Because if you can't stick to it, it's not going to be a sustainable way for you to continue to do it to see progress. So whatever you find that you enjoy, do that.
Well, and like, even if you were like, your goal was to run like a marathon or like a 5K or something like that, on day one, you're probably not going to go run a full marathon a full 5K.
Yeah.
You're going to have some sort of, this word is being overused in this like last little bit, but you're going to want to follow some sort of progression that allows you to handle more volume, handle more training, be able to, you know, run longer distances at faster paces, so you're not going to jump in and do the full thing right away.
Exactly.
So you're still going to have to follow some sort of progression.
Exactly. And I think, in short, all we're saying is that if you want to see results and you haven't been seeing the results that you want,
exactly,
and you haven't been following a program, it may be time to start following a program and actually sticking to it and implementing that progressive overload so that you can get stronger and you can build muscle and you can, you know, comp your body. So,
well, and I think this kind of leads into the next thing too, is like, the people at Program Hop are so impatient that they don't even give themselves enough time to like see through the like adaptations that they're slowly like building up, like the patience 100%. Factor, which I think was the
that's
next
point. Yeah, the last one that we have on the list is lack of patience. And you know, we've been there. We've been, you know, the people that have been like, what the heck, like, why am I'm eating good for a couple weeks and why am I not skinny yet? Like, I think everybody goes through
I think that is like human nature. And then like the program hopping aspect is, man, I've been doing this program for like 2 weeks. Why am I not like hitting PRs across the board? It's just like, that's just not how this works. Unless like you're literally in your first 2 weeks of training, you're not going to see, you know, substantial improvement in just a matter of a few weeks, especially like as you get to like more of like the intermediate and like advanced level of like this stuff, like
it'll take longer. Like someone that's just starting out and they run through, let's say, one of our programs, they might add 50 pounds onto their squat, but the same program for us is probably not going to make that much of an impact on our squat because we've been doing it for so long.
Well, maybe me right now, just because I'm so detrained in like those movements that I could probably add a lot if I actually got serious about it and tried to run like a true strength cycle. Which reminds me, I'm very weak right now.
Oh gosh, let's not go there. So yeah, lack of patience. That's a big thing. And I feel like I said, everybody can relate to this. It's hard to have patience. It's hard to continually go through, you know, a program and not see the results that you want until the end.
Yeah. Well, and it's equally as important as it is to see, like, to give things time, like a certain movement, like give it like 8 weeks to see if it gave you an improvement. But it's just as important to see if it like didn't help at all. Like you gotta like understand, like, not every person is gonna be like someone like you, like very short femurs and like a pretty like long torso. Like squats are a great exercise for you just because you're like put together for them. And you get like a great like hypertrophic benefit from it.
Versus someone who's 6'4"
and is like all femur,
yeah,
no torso. Like they're not gonna get as good of a response out of it.
And they're gonna love deadlifts.
Maybe. Or they're just gonna be better suited for some type of like machine based squat movement.
Yeah. So
off topic, but like I was just like, you know, you gotta find, and I hate saying this too, because like certain movements are going to be like, you gotta have some type of like squat pattern. But not every movement is going to, you know, provide the same results for every person. And that's why I like, with like our challenges, like we prescribe exercises, but there's nothing like concrete or set in stone about those exercise choices. Like that's why like lately I've just been like writing like squat variation. Like you pick what variation you like, because even if it's like not the best exercise for
everybody,
hypertrophy or like yada yada, like optimal TikTok and optimal Instagram, like you're gonna get far more benefit out of doing an exercise that you enjoy versus one that might be the best choice based on, you know, or biomechanics, you know, for a certain result. But if you hate it, it's not going to matter because you're not going to want to do it. Perform it.
Yeah. That's another thing. If you can't perform it and execute good form, there's no sense in doing it because you're just risking, you know, getting an injury from it. So there will be people that will, you know, DM us on the form check Instagram. We have a form check with all of our challenges. And, you know, somebody will be like, I'm really struggling with this movement and it just doesn't look right. Like, it just looks like they're very uncomfortable. And no matter what cues you give them, it's still just not clicking. And you're just like, hey, you know what? This is probably just not going to work for you. However, hack squat would be a much better option because the movement is already, you know, the machine puts you through the movement.
The path, yeah, is, you know,
already determined.
Standardized. Like, you can't deviate from it.
Yeah. I mean,
you could, but you'd probably be in a weird position that you wouldn't find comfortable either, but.
Yeah. So, all right. So, yeah, lack of patience was the last one, which. Yeah,
something like that, but
we got a little off. Yeah. And I think that pretty much wraps it up. Yeah. We just wanted to touch on, you know, what we generally see within our challenges of why people don't see the results that they were hoping for, which we see a lot of people make incredible progress with their 8-week challenges, which we don't guarantee, like, you're going to, you know, lose 10, 15, 20 pounds
in 8 weeks. Well, it's just impossible because, one, we're not there to watch them train, and two, we're not there to watch, like,
their nutrition,
what they're eating,
yeah,
and all the other lifestyle factors that are concerned. But
the people that see the best progress in our challenges are the people that are in the gym pushing themselves. We can see on the app. We can see the weights that they use. We can see, you know, if they're completing their workouts. And then we can also see the people that aren't doing anything. And then, you know, the people that are complaining about, you know, not liking something or having it be too easy and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, okay, well, you're using 5 pounds. You're not pushing yourself with the weight at all. Mm-hmm. And you're not being patient. It's going to take time to see progress.
Which the number is arbitrary. It's just a theme of whether or not you're progressing over time. But the patience thing, I want to touch on this one last time. There was a lady, I think 2 days ago maybe, mm-hmm, and she started doing the guides in 2019, and it's what, 2023? Mm-hmm. And like, you can totally tell that she's like playing the long game and she's stuck with it, and the, like, her transformation is like night and day because she like understands that this is something you have to buy into for like the long haul, and it's not just a 8-week, you know, quick fix, grow a butt.
She looks incredible, and yeah, she looks so strong. I remember when she first started, the name vividly, like, it stuck with me because I've seen her post in our group for years about her progress in the gym. Not even just like her physical progress, because that's a whole nother, like, she looks fabulous. But her strength has improved tenfold. Like, she used to squat, you know, 95, 100 pounds. And now she's squatting 245 for reps. Like, that's amazing. So like, it's not just, you know, an 8-week program that's going to take you to your goals. It's going to be years of completing, you know, program after program. And you don't have to buy every new program. You can repeat the same program that maybe you've purchased a couple of years ago. And like I said, it doesn't have to be from us. We're just saying, if you want to see the progress that you see other people making, you have to be willing to put in the work, stick to a program, and be patient.
That's just it. Like, if you want the results other people are getting, you got to match the effort that they're putting into.
Exactly. So I think that pretty much wraps up this episode. We have a little baby that just woke up from her nap just in time. So we will see you on the next episode, and thank you so much for listening.
Thank you.